This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast, is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
This is the Lombardi Line with Michael Lombardi and Patrick Maher on VSiN.
Okay, riddle me this, Michael Lombardi. How much does an ankle cost to the point spread? So I'll answer it and you react. It's 4 points, apparently, because on Tuesday, the Bengals were all the way up to a 2.5 point favorite at Circa and DraftKings. And now we've seen a reversal as we welcome you in on this Friday. And it looks like the Chiefs are laying 1.5 points. Good news from Mahomes' ankle. Hi, Michael.
Hello, Patrick. And when you say riddle me this, are you riddling me with John Austin, the Riddler, or Frank Gorsham, the Riddler from Batman TV series? I mean, I got to know which one.
Wait, hold on. Which one was it? Well, I'm old enough to remember when the show where it would go bam, pow,
yeah,
and it would pop up on the screen.
That's the one I'm talking about.
Yeah, that was
Frank
like that.
Gorsham. That was Frank Gorsham. I think that's how you say his name. John Austin, the guy from Adam's Family, came in for a little bit. He wasn't very good, so he was the other one. Had that great laugh, you know. So
let's
I would
go with
say,
the former.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think it's, you know, I think it's interesting. We called this on Monday, that or Sunday last week, that this line was going to fluctuate based on information, reliable or not, about what was going to happen. And we're seeing it. I mean, it's fairly clear. I love what Samich did yesterday in terms of going through what the line should really be. And how it's kind of fluctuated back and forth based on just simply an ankle that no one really knows. No one really knows.
That's right.
What the truth is. I mean, I find it hard to believe that he can play with this ankle, but then again, I find it hard to believe he's not in a boot. So I'm back and forth. I'm assuming, as I have all week, he's fine. He's going to play. I don't want to hear anything else.
Yeah, I think you're smart to do that, and you wrote about it on Tuesday over at VSiN.com. As we open up today's show, just a couple of notes here quickly. We're going to have the Bear, Chris Felica, who joins us in just a bit.
I'm excited. We've never had the Bear before. I mean, this is an inaugural day for us, isn't it?
Well, you know what's weird? I do feel like we've had him because he rides with us on text message. We have a thread that continues throughout the whole entire – so it's almost like a formality now. He's going to join us. Vinny Maliulo, the Hall of Famer. Dave Ross is going to add some excitement at the end of the show, so we look forward to that. Plenty to do. Okay, so I wanted to start there with the numbers, and then we'll get into some of these coaching news. The San Francisco Philly is still 2.5, but I mentioned Kansas City's up to 1.5, and it's 1.5 blanketed everywhere. So something to keep note of. That's a 4 point
swing. I think that Philly line is fascinating. Nobody wants that. They don't want to move that line to 2.5. They just don't want to move it to 2.5. And it's kind of strange how they don't want to move it. And here, so today when I woke up and I was writing, I went to our site, and most of the books on the East Coast were at 3, and now they're back down to 2.5.
Which, as you mentioned, the Lombardi look ahead. By the way, a good Bill Walsh, Sid Gillman corollary in today's Lombardi look ahead, which I enjoyed very much. Make sure you check that out for VSiN subscribers. But you also talked about the number. the three, it's you see it right now. Take a look at your board. Everybody's 2.5 and everybody's 1.5. So there really isn't much. Now, we're seeing juice on, like you just mentioned, we're seeing juice on Philly 2.5, 120 at a couple of shops, 115, which means we're headed to three, but you just said it. It's 2.5 everywhere.
Nobody wants to go, and I think what Mike Palm said yesterday, nobody wants to get caught in that area, right? Nobody wants to get caught, you know, getting middled, right? So they're kind of like staying and putting a tax on it. I think this, though, what I found was fascinating, and someone sent me this information, a good friend of mine from England sent me this information about this is the first time since 1997 when the 49ers hosted Green Bay in San Francisco. And when the Denver Broncos flew back to Pittsburgh to play the Steelers in the championship game, this is the first time we've had two games in conference championship where the spread's been under 3 on both games. Think about that.
Since 97, you said?
Since 1997. Now, both road teams won that game convincingly. You know, I mean, San Francisco, Green Bay with Brett Favre, and then obviously Denver with the great John Elway goes back into Pittsburgh. Denver was a 4 seed that year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they were the 4 seed that year. Kansas City was the number 1 seed with Marty Schottenheimer, and they lost to Denver 14-10 in that round. So, you know, as we go through this, it tells us we're going to have a lot of good close games. And, you know, the thing that's interesting, no one's betting the 49ers. No one's betting the Niners. On our board, Patrick, it's 95-5.
I know. But, like you said, the reticence of the books to go up to that 3. It'll be fascinating. We're going to be here tomorrow. We're going to be here on Sunday leading into the games on the Lombardi Line. So we have plenty of time to break down the games. Just wanted to throw the numbers out to start off the show. Now, as we officially begin, as our buddy Elliot just told us, let's talk about some of these coaching hires. There's many ways to deconstruct what's happening with Carolina. Full disclosure, Michael Lombardi's son is on the staff down there. So it's very delicate how we approach this, but I want to talk about Steve Wilks. Before we do, let me get your immediate reaction when you heard that Frank Reich, I'm sure you probably had an idea, but when Reich was announced as the new Carolina head coach, what was the reaction yesterday?
You know, I felt like the owner of the team really wants someone to run the offense, and he wants someone with experience. I think that was the criteria that he set. That, you know, and I don't know if Steve Wilks could have convinced him that he was going to be able to hire a really good offensive coach to solve the offensive issue. And I think that's ultimately what it came down to, was he went with a head coach with experience who could run an offense, as opposed to a defensive head coach who would have to hire an offense.
Right.
I'm not sure that always makes sense to me, but you know, that's that you could see by who he interviewed and the kind of people he brought in, what he was looking for. You know, they said he was in love with Kellen Moore and Ben Johnson. And so you could just sense that the owner, David Tepper, was looking down that offensive mindset. And so, you know, this is where it led to Frank Wright. And, you know, Frank is one of the few lucky guys that goes from one job to the other. I mean, Ron Rivera did it when he left Carolina and went to Washington, but usually you sit out a year before you get back in. He's not able, he doesn't have to do that.
Okay. Now let's transition to a story that in the elephant in the room, frankly, and it's worth discussing. Steve Wilks took over a team that was 1-4, Michael. You know this very well. He goes on to finish 6-6. I didn't realize that Steve Wilks, who was the interim head coach there with Carolina, was born and raised in Charlotte,
yeah,
North Carolina, which is fascinating. Again, traded away their best player, McCaffrey, shot to win the NFC South. The team really started to play well and find an identity with Wilks. There's an issue here. The league is 65% African-American. There's 2 black head coaches, and obviously it's something that needs to be discussed.
No doubt. And I don't know if Steve could have done anything more than he did. I mean, he's basically one kid's helmet away from staying on his head from being in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know if he could have done anything more. And I think in David Tepper's defense, if you can defend it, is the fact that, look, he wants an offensive coach, and I wasn't in the meeting, so maybe he wasn't impressed with the coaches that Steve was selling as offensive coaches. This I don't know. This is all speculation on my part. But that goes into the dynamic of hiring. I think this is why so many teams want to hire offensive coaches, because there's not, as we're seeing with the Jets and we're seeing with the Washington Commanders, that it's hard to find offensive coaches. I mean, look, Detroit did a heck of a thing. I mean, Ben Johnson's on their staff. Nobody knew who Ben Johnson was 2 years ago, and they found him. So exactly they're right. out there. You just got to find them, and you got to be able to develop them.
So I don't know that if I'm going to get the name correct. Doug Wigder, who represents Steve Wilks, is pending in Brian Flores, the racial discrimination case against the league. I think he's going to join with the Flores case. And I think they have a right to do so. We can throw up the reaction from Steve Wilks today, which was very positive. And I think that's taking the high road is important for somebody in Steve Wilks' position. The sun rose this morning, and by grace of God, so did I. I'm disappointed but not defeated was part of the quote from Wilks. Look, we can talk about race. We can talk about and so many people are going to have different opinions. Wilks this morning has a reason to be pissed. You just said it. I don't know how much more he could have done with the team. Your son was on the staff. The offense got better. The defense got better. In every way, it got better.
It did. And, you know, they were only, other than the Bengal game, they were in every game. You know, they were in every game. And, look, their season, you know, there was a lot of moving parts. Everybody said they traded their best player away in McCaffrey. Yeah, he was, but he wasn't their best. He was their most talented player. But for where they were as a football team, he right. couldn't be their best player. When he right. left, they actually got better. I know that sounds crazy, but they did because
True.
When he was there, they had no identity. When he left, they found an identity. And I think that identity and how they played probably wasn't the way the owner sees how he wants his organization to run, how he believes he thinks he should run. And again, this is all speculation on my part, but clearly he made Wilks the head coach as the guy that he felt like was the most experienced for the situation. And I don't know if Steve could have done anything more than what he did. I mean, I didn't feel like Steve made – I mean, the Atlanta game, the kid takes his helmet off, and then he misses a field goal, misses an extra point, and misses a field goal, or they're going to win that game in Atlanta.
I had no clue. I mean, he literally went to high school in North Charlotte. So I didn't know until yesterday when I started researching it more, the connection with Wilks and Charlotte. So it really was an awesome opportunity for Wilks, and unfortunate for him, fortunate for, obviously, Frank Reich. You don't see it very often. Last time I can think of it, Michael, was Adam Gase, who got let go by Miami, then immediately hired by the Jets, remember? That's kind of a similar situation here with Frank Reich.
And similar with Rivera. He got fired midseason by the Panthers and then got hired at the end of the year by the Washington Commanders.
How'd that work out?
Oh, it's still working. I did the your guys today in the morning in Washington. It's still working. They're wondering how it's working.
Oh, you went on with the Junkies?
I did. I went on with the Junkies.
Oh, I got to hear
this morning.
I was on
with them. We covered a lot of ground. Yeah.
Okay. So that's just the start. Let's come back with more coaching news, including Dan Quinn has pulled his name from contention. I always think when somebody pulls their name from contention for a job, it means they knew they weren't getting the job, and it keeps
exactly. In fairness to Dan Quinn, that's right.
In fairness, it keeps your status and it keeps your image in a good place. And we'll come back and discuss that. Also, some sound from Zach Taylor and Joe Burrow. We're just getting started. Then Chris, the Bear Felica, will join. It's a Lombardi Line on a Friday.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Listening to the Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
Okay, I mentioned the Lombardi Look Ahead earlier in the show. That's available for VSiN pros. It's simple to become a VSiN pro right now. Just go to VSiN.com/subscribe. It's $9.99, so we're doing an introductory offer for the first time ever, and it's only $9.99. So check it out. Included, the Pro Tools, the Pro Picks at a Glance, Pro Tips, and more. So everything we offer is available right now for $9.99. VSiN.com/subscribe to check it out. We welcome you back. Friday edition of the Lombardi Line. The Bear, Chris Felica, is going to join in about 14 minutes. We've got Vinny Maliulo from Behind the Book there at the South Point Hall of Famer to talk about the line movement as far as conference championship weekend coming up on Sunday. We've got plenty to do. Coaching news, Michael Lombardi there in Jersey. I'm Patrick Maher. Coaching news. So we talked about Frank Reich being hired there in Carolina. I guess a surprise to some. One of the things that I heard, and you can confirm, is that Tepper, who's got more money than God, Tepper essentially said he was impressed by Reich coming to the interview, having already interviewed potential assistant coaches. So he was very, very prepared. I don't know if that's something that's common, but that was what was reported.
You know, I think that's something that they love to hear, the owners. They want to know, it's not just because we live in this subcontractor world in the NFL today, it's really the owners want to know what the band looks like. You know, if you're the lead singer, who's playing lead guitar? Who's playing bass? Who's your drummer? You know, and so answering those questions are really difficult because of the rules. You know, you could sit there and say, well, I'm going to hire Ben Johnson as my offensive coordinator. Well, you can't get Ben Johnson. He's under contract. Or, I want to hire this. You can't get him. He's under contract. Who are you going to hire? This is the problem most defensive coaches run into. I mean, look at the names of the candidates that are being interviewed for the Charger job, being interviewed for the Washington job. They're not names that fans recognize easily. So you've got to have somebody in mind when you go into that interview and say, here's what I'm going to do. The other problem you get into is when you go into that interview, like, for example, when Josh McDaniels interviewed in Philadelphia, he wanted to hire Jonathan Gannon as his defensive coordinator. Well, he didn't get the job, but Jonathan Gannon became the defensive coordinator. You follow me?
What?
So you're always reluctant about giving out the names of your guys because you could lose your guy.
What we're seeing with Dan Quinn, who obviously understood and read the room and didn't think he was getting a job, and so he pulled his name out of contention to stay the DC there with Dallas. With somebody like Ben Johnson, who got a raise from the Lions, what we're seeing is he looked and said, I don't really envy these jobs. I don't really covet these jobs. I'll sit back. I'll become more valuable. I'll make more money, and then maybe next year during the cycle, I'll have an opportunity to get a job that's more enviable. Now, a job that certainly would be, it would be the Dallas Cowboys. Here's Mike McCarthy talking about Jerry Jones and his employment.
As far as my relationship with Jerry, just using his word, we're in an excellent spot. You know, he's the partnership that we have. He's excited about. He told me a number of times this week that he wants me to coach here as long as Coach Landry did, and I said, okay, that's a long time, I feel really good about our relationships. I think our ability to discuss and disagree is we do a good job of that. So, and I think that's important, because when you get into these situations of free agency and, these tough decisions, you got to be able to have those conversations.
Mike McCarthy certainly eating good down in Dallas, it appears. That would mean, by the way, 26 more years for McCarthy as the Cowboys head coach until he's 85 years old if he wants to equal Mr. Landry. But what's your takeaway from what McCarthy said there about his employment?
I think people have lost sight of the ball here in Dallas. I think the conversation is when your quarterback doesn't play well, right? You blame the quarterback. Internally, there's blame being deflected to other places. So the question I'm sure Jerry and Steven are asking themselves is, can Kellen Moore make Dak Prescott a better player? Or are we going down the wrong road here? They gave McCarthy him. They said, you've got to hire him. So when they did that, McCarthy said, okay, you could do that. Dak didn't play well, and they can't get rid of Dak. So they got to look around to say, what's going on here? Now, we saw they fired their offense. They didn't renew their offensive line coach, Joe Philbin, who's a very close friend of McCarthy. They didn't, you know, Skip Pete was on the staff. They let him go. That's two offensive coaches down. So you could see the staffs going through some changes. And today they're going to meet with Kellen Moore. And as I said yesterday, I don't think it's a slam dunk Kellen Moore's back on this team. You know, like there could have been a chance where if Steve Wilks would have gotten the offensive head coaching job in Carolina, he might have been able to hire Kellen Moore as his offensive coordinator and been able to say that. But I think that's the reality. I think that we're looking at right now is a situation where how do we make Dak better? And I think McCarthy, and I can't speak for him, but this is just my guess. I think McCarthy's saying, hey, if I had my guy in there coaching him, Brian Schottenheimer, Dak would play better and we wouldn't turn the damn ball over.
Well, it's a perfect setup, partner, because does Mike McCarthy want to call plays? If he does, that could potentially mean Kellen Moore is the next one out. Let's hear from McCarthy.
I'm just getting started in the evaluation. I'm not calling plays this week. I think we clearly had things situated where I was very confident in how the offense was not only being called, but you know how the game plans were being built and so forth. But you know, I get the you know the result. And it's because of the result that we had that I have to come in here and answer these questions. But you know, like I said, every coach, you know, including myself, is being evaluated.
Okay. Kellen Moore interviewed for potential head coach. He's what, 34 years old? He's known as the joystick here on the show. You're not blown away by the sequences. Let's put it that way. His sequencing as far as play calling, I would say. It would be interesting if all of a sudden Kellen Moore, you know, jumps over somebody like we talked about earlier, Bieniemy, Steve Wilks, and others. It's kind of a dicey situation there right now with McCarthy because McCarthy inherited Kellen Moore.
Right. I'm not sure Kellen Moore is going to be the offensive coordinator in Dallas next year. I'm not sure that's 100%. I used to believe that Steven and Jerry had his back through everything, but I'm not sure that's the case because, you know, what often happens in this is you're not going to blame the player. So who are you going to blame? What are you going to do? You can't blame the player. You got to blame somebody, right? So I get the answer that, you know, maybe they need to make a change there. Maybe Dak needs another voice in his ear that could help him, that could give him some sense of explaining what we're doing and why we're not meeting the challenges that we have to meet. We got to get our offense to where we don't turn the ball over and we match our – now, we got Quinn back. That's great. You know, Dan Quinn's back, so we know what we're going to be able to do there. But we got to get this offense to where when we go play a good team like we played San Francisco, we can score more than 12 points.
Are you hearing D'Amico Ryans to Denver?
You know, I mean, that's obviously what everybody's been hearing. That's the word on the street. But, you know, and it makes sense because if they haven't hired a guy, if they wanted to hire Jim Harbaugh, Sean Payton, David Shaw, they would have done it by now. There's nothing in blocking them from doing it. So what makes you think it's D'Amico is the fact that they must be interested in somebody that's still in the playoffs. And they brought Dan Quinn back. He was there. He was involved. Dan Quinn was the favorite to get the job in Denver before Nathaniel Hackett got it, and he didn't get it.
Correct.
And so when Quinn bails out, that tells me somebody from Denver told his agent, we got our guy. And or they just said, hey, you're not our guy. Okay? And he went back to another interview in Indianapolis for the second interview, and they probably said, you're not our guy. Or maybe he said, you know, I've spent time in front of Mr. Irsay. I don't really feel like that's a good fit for me. Okay. So I think that's kind of what's happened. And so that's what leads everybody to D'Amico Ryans as potentially the guy there. I think Jonathan Gannon is the front runner down in Houston. I think D'Amico's on their list. And I think if Gannon has a good day on Sunday, I think that's his job in Houston.
You know, what has become clear, and I'm sure you saw the video of Sean Payton, a 7-hour meeting with Bidwell there with the Arizona Cardinals. What's become crystal clear, remember at the very beginning you said, everybody caution, these teams are going to have to give up a lot to get Sean Payton. The punitive nature of what teams will have to give up is not worth it to them. That's what they're saying. Listen, Denver doesn't even have a first rounder to give up right now.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I think that's right. And I think if you're Denver or if you're, you know, maybe if you're Arizona, you know, I don't know how they would work it out considering how high Arizona is going to pick in the draft. But I think you got to kind of work through that. And, you know, how does it all fit? Like once I said before, you know, it's like putting together a band. You know, yeah, you want Peyton to coach your team, but what other things are you willing to give up to get him? And I think that's, are you willing to pay the $25 million or the $20 million a year? Are you willing to give him complete authority and all the personnel? I mean, look, you know, you just hired in Arizona, they just hired Monty Osendorf. So I don't know how much authority he got when he got the job, but it's going to get passed over if they hire Peyton. So why did I take the job if I'm not going to have any authority?
So when's the Jeff Saturday announcement from Indy? Come on, man.
You know, I have no idea. I would assume it's coming. You know, they're bringing Martindale in for a second interview, so I don't know what that means. They're
Hire
going through
Wink.
Second interviews. Yeah, we Hire should campaign that. Sir Wink.
That's that. You can have Campbell right now. I'll take Wink Martindale. Excuse me, Sir Wink Martindale. Sir Chris Felica joins us, the Bear, next here in Lombardi Line.
You're listening to The Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
VSiN pros get the pro tools, the most popular, the betting splits. Money and bets for every game, updated every 10 minutes. Today's games and future events, go to VSiN.com, VSiN.com/subscribe. So, Michael Lombardi, help me with the intro here. How do you introduce a legend, an ESPN legend? At Fox Sports analyst, it's the biggest coup at Fox since they got the Super Bowl. Chris Felica, of course, the Bear. The winner of the Invitational, the first ever.
Congratulations.
There with humans.
Yes.
Yeah, and we say hi to Chris Felica, better known as the Bear. Hey, Bear, how are you?
I'm well, and I'm actually headed out to Vegas on Wednesday evening. After I'll be in LA on Tuesday and Wednesday to meet with my new bosses at Fox, which I'm excited to do, and then to make a little pit stop on the way back on Wednesday night and Thursday to collect and give some back to Circa with some more plays for the spring. So I'm excited to get out there and see whatever people I can over a day and a half. Happy to be on with you guys. It always seems like I'm just sitting here throwing ridiculous thoughts and opinions and making fun of the Jets coaching staff with you guys. And it's good to actually be on and chatting with you guys now.
Well, I mean, let's start right there. I mean, you covered Denver games for Amazon this year. What are your thoughts on Nathaniel Hackett leading the green and white? I mean, what are your thoughts?
I am of the school of thought that there are some people out there that aren't made to be head coaches and some people that are just made to be coordinators. And it looks like he may be one of those guys. And look, I mean, not every head coach had a great first tenure. Pete Carroll didn't have a great first tenure as a head coach. But a bigger concern for me is that it wasn't like Nathaniel Hackett was this great offensive coordinator the first time around, or the second time around. This is what was third shot around now. Is, of course, I don't know. I think the biggest issue for the Jets is sitting on a quarterback. I mean, it doesn't matter who the coordinator is. I don't think if you don't have a guy who can play the position, then you're in trouble. And I think it's clear that Woody Johnson, who likes to use name in the headlines and make the big splashes, it's clear what they're trying to do. And I don't know if I'd be giving up two number ones for Aaron Rodgers. They're not going to be 40 years old soon, but we'll see. I mean, I'm hopeful because if you get Vera Tucker back, you get Breece Hall back, you got more weapons on offense. So we'll see. I mean, I guess I could say if we're doing the old stock market buy, sell, hold, I guess I'm a strong hold right now, and we'll see what happens.
Chris Felica, what was your reaction yesterday with Reich to Carolina?
I was a little surprised. I guess it happened that quick. It was funny because Michael was saying how he thought there would be a decision in the next 48 hours. And then I joked, I sent him a text. I'm like, 48 hours or 48 minutes afterwards.
Yeah.
And sending them in. And but it was a little surprising. But I guess you guys have talked about it, and other people have talked about it as well. Offensive coaches, it seems to be the way to go in terms of your coaching staff. Right? What you mean? You could probably count the number of defensive-minded head coaches on one hand in the league, and not all of them always pan out. So everybody's looking for an offensive guy, and we'll see if Reich, if he can erase what happened at the end of the Colts tenure there, and he can get it right. But again, they don't have a quarterback either. I mean, I don't, unless you think Sam Darnold is going to be the guy moving forward. So be interesting to see. I mean, they should be in a position, though, at least with where they're going to be picking, that they can potentially get someone to help them moving forward.
As you look at this game, this will be the first time, Bear, since 97 that we've had a championship round where both games the spread is under three. And I know the Eagles' spread is itching towards three, but this is the first time since 97 when the Packers and the 49ers faced off and when the Broncos and the Steelers did. So let's start with the first game. How do you handicap that, and have you placed a bet on that game yet?
I like the 49ers in this game, and I'm sitting here, and I'm thinking back to last week and 2 weeks ago after the Giants beat Minnesota, and it was like the massive overreaction. Oh, my God, the Giants, they got a chance against Philly now. Look out. And we saw how that went. And now it's kind of been an overreaction. Well, the Eagles blew out the Giants, and you just don't blow a playoff team out. And now it's just it's one-way Eagles money. And I think the 49ers kind of have the scheme offensively to kind of negate the Eagles' pass rush and maybe avoid some of that secondary with the way that they can run the ball. And then I'm just examining the line. And the fact that it's just been sitting there at 2.5 all week long, it hasn't gone to 3 yet. Nope. I'm saying to myself, if they haven't moved it, they're just sitting there taking all this Eagles money. Isn't that telling – it's telling me that the odds in the books are quite comfortable going into the game needing the 49ers. So I texted Chris Andrews a little while ago over to, and I said, am I right or wrong here? And he goes, no, he goes, probably I'll go to 3 at some point, but just because of like future liability. But he goes, I'm comfortable going into the game needing the 49ers. So that actually gave me a little validity in my thinking. And as well, people are talking about the Eagles and the tough place to play and home field advantage. I mean, they lost an NFC Championship game in 2002, 2003 on the home field to defensive-minded, defense-first teams with Carolina and Tampa Bay, teams that could run the ball. They've lost wild-card games on their home field since then. So it's like you're not necessarily playing against the crowd. I mean, you're playing against the team. I mean, the team changes, coaches change, but it's like people are noting the crowd, the home field advantage. There's no way Brock Purdy can handle that crowd. Well, it's been done in the past, so we'll see. And I said it as well, too. Like, people every week, it's a new deal with Brock Purdy. First, it's his first start now. Now it's his first road start. Oh, but the last couple of games of the season didn't matter. Now it's his first playoff game. Now it's his first playoff road start. Now it's, okay, now, so it's like, every week there's a new first expecting this guy to fail. Maybe he will go on the road, and maybe he will implode. But I think at this point, don't you just have to give the kid the benefit of the doubt that he's just a good player that's gone on and fit what Shanahan has done with that offense pretty well?
No doubt.
Chris Felica officially on the Lombardi line. He's generally riding shotgun in the group chat, so we're excited to have the Bear. So the overreaction was what? Cincinnati jumping up to 2.5 at Circa, and of course DraftKings and other books on Tuesday, or now we've come back 4 points the other way with Kansas City laying 1.5. Which one's the overreaction, Bear?
Well, the Superbook opened that game at 3, and that was before they really knew what the Mahomes injury status was. I think the overreaction was the initial swing to Cincinnati. I mean, people have pointed to the last 3 games where Cincinnati's won all 3, and I thought Michael's point yesterday, I think it was about maybe Mahomes was dinged and had a little bit of a concussion late in that second half. That's an interesting thought, but you think of the 3 games, the Chiefs had an advantage, 75% win probability or better in the fourth quarter in all 3 of those games. Aren't they ultimately going to get the benefit of the doubt in one of these high variance type of plays where they'll ultimately be able to win one of these games? Last week, again, remember, the discussion was Bengals, how are they going to be able to block the offensive line? It's a problem. Then the snow came and it helped them, and the offensive line wasn't as much of an issue. You don't hear as many people talking about that this week. And in my rudimentary knowledge of watching football, isn't the interior of the Chiefs defensive line better than what they faced with the Bills? I know Mahomes is injured, but they have a pretty decent shotgun running game, I think, with Pacheco and the other guys that they have. And maybe Mahomes is saying, maybe he'll get hurt again. That's the one thing you can't account for. Maybe he gets rolled up on again or takes a hit in that game and is unable to finish, but you just don't know. But I think you just kind of have to base it on he's going to play and we'll see what happens. But I'm gonna lay the point and a half with the Chiefs here and see what happens.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think you're right. I think that if you really study those three games, it's so close. And, you know, the fact is the number one telltale in those three games are the fact that in those games, the Chiefs have only possessed the ball 28 times. That's under 10 possessions a game. That's been the key. I mean, Lou Amoromo's done a great job defensively, but he's played less defense. And they've given them less possessions because Mixon's been able to run the ball and they've been able to control the clock. They punted with 5 minutes to go and change and never saw the ball again. So their offense has really helped their defense. And I agree. I think we're not talking enough about those guards trying to block Chris Jones inside. I think it's a harder front to block than Buffalo. They're bigger. They're more physical.
Can I ask you one other thing in general about the play? It happened to talk about the first game we talked about. Yeah, I don't think anybody really knows the answer, but does any of this happen for San Francisco if Trey Lance doesn't get hurt?
I do. There's no chance it happens. Because, you know, I said this on the Sports Junkies today. All this conversation about Kyle Shanahan had to change his offense, the reason we drafted Lance was because we need to expand the offense and it'll give us more. That's a crock. This offense is good now. It'll be good next year.
Yeah, it was interesting because we talked about that Amazon stuff. We had a 49ers-Texans preseason game, and I'm sitting there and watching the game, and Lance played early, and then Purdy came, and I'm like, Purdy looks better than Lance to me.
As a producer, Felica, what it's like to be up against it. That's Chris the Bear Felica, of course, producer over at Fox. He's just an asset. Circa Invitational, he's all over the place. We're back. Lombardi Line.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Listening to the Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
Okay, BetMGM customers, if you have a friend who loves sports as much as you do, here's a chance for both of you to earn $50 in bonuses when you sign up through BetMGM's Refer a Friend program. Just sign up to your BetMGM account today, click on the Refer a Friend program, send your friend a message, and when you do, they get $50, you get $50. Everybody's happy. 21 years or older over at BetMGM. Remember, newly reconfigured app. Check it out. 1-800-GAMBLER if you have an issue. Refer a friend. Right now, get $50. Not available Mississippi or Nevada. Michael Lombardi, Lombardi Line, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Want to say thank you to Chris Felica, the Bear. Nobody knows. He got cut off at the end there, but as a guy that's done his whole entire life, he's been in production. Nobody knows. When you run out of time, you run out of time. So we want to thank Chris Felica, who gave us great information.
Stuff,
as a matter of fact, such great information. You carried the conversation with me into the break, something he said about the Philadelphia Eagles and that number. You want to pick up on that?
Well, I mean, he makes a great point. So all week long, I've been watching this line, and like today, this morning when I got up, 91% of the money is on the Eagles, and the line won't move. The line won't move. And what Chrissy Andrews told Chris was, look, we feel good about the 49ers in the game. That worries you. I mean, that I don't want to ever be on the side of the public. I want to be on the side of the book. And the way I've handicapped this game, I'm leaning towards the public, and it has nothing to do with the Giant game to me was I dismissed that. I know that they the Giants could play them 10 times. They're going to lose 10 times. That's not in my handicap. What's in my handicap is the Purdy element of if they get ahead, if Philadelphia comes out and plays a game like they did against Tennessee, when they played Tennessee, everybody was wondering, well, Tennessee's a really good run defense. How are the Eagles going to handle that? Well, the Eagles handled that by simply saying, we're not going to run it. We're going to throw it. They threw for 360-some yards. So they came out throwing off of play action. And if you're going to beat the 49ers, you're going to have to throw it. You're not going to beat them running it all the time. They're good inside. They have a lot of matchups. So that's what I think. And I think if Purdy has to play from behind, I don't think in their system, it's built to play from behind. And when you watch the game against the Cowboys' speed and physicality gave them some trouble. Now, they put together a drive. So my question all week is the Eagles as physical and as fast as Dallas. They don't have somebody like Parsons, but they're really good. Their edges can run. I think it's an interesting matchup. So I just favored that they'll play from in front, which will make it hard for San Francisco.
So we'll pick up the thread in 8 minutes with Vinny. Vinny, of course, works with Chris Andrews, and Bear had texted Chris Andrews, why isn't that number jumping up if everybody's on the Eagles? We'll pick up that conversation with Vinny coming up in about 8 minutes. You mentioned Brock Purdy. I've done something very non-scientific. I've just literally every single week said, I see a Brock Purdy regression coming, and I've been proven wrong every single week, Michael. Now, Right. Here is Kyle Shanahan. Let's hear from Shanahan talking about Purdy facing that raucous crowd in Philly.
I think we did that week. I mean, that was huge just because that was our first game really all year that it was that important. And it was, Brock hadn't had experience with it. And so it was great to have that, especially with us going to Philly. I remember us talking about that week that we needed that. We needed that rep in case we ended up in the NFC Championship at Philly, and we got that, and I'm very fortunate that we did, and I feel we're good to go. He knows what to expect. He knows how we do it, and we'll give him reps at it all week, but he got it ready on just a Wednesday when he played Thursday, so Phil won't be an issue this week.
And so he's referencing Purdy going to Seattle, so dealing with a raucous crowd there. You want to jump on that?
Well, I think we have to stop this home field stuff. I mean, we have to stop it because – back in the 60s to 70s, nobody was coming to the line with two plays. The quarterbacks ran the offense, right? They ran the ball. They threw it. There wasn't a lot going on. So the crowd noise was effective. They didn't have a silent count. But through time and through coaching and through innovation, teams have done a good job of handling the silent count. You know, they have a way of doing it. They can keep it. You don't necessarily have to, you know, you can communicate from the sidelines through hand signals. It's just we've gotten better at doing these things. So it doesn't impact the game to the degree we think it does. It's a self-fulfilling prophecy because every fan wants to know he's impacting the game sitting in his seat. And that's great. And that's great. That's why we love football so much. But the way the teams have handled this, and we see it every year. I mean, 97, I mean, San Francisco's hosting Green Bay. They lose. Denver's going to Pittsburgh, hard place to play, Three River Stadium. They win. Pittsburgh loses at home. We know this. It comes down to what plays are made during the game. And I really think that the San Francisco 49ers, they might have a false start here and there, but the way they've set up their game plan, I think what Kyle said is important. The way they operate with crowd noise is something they practice going back to the spring. So they're ready for it. And I think home field matters. It's rest, all those things. The Niners will fly in today. They'll rest. They'll be ready to go. That's not going to be the determining factor in the game. The determining factor in the game is going to be who plays from in front and which quarterback makes plays in the passing game to get the lead.
You wrote about that in the Lombardi Look At. Let's follow up on that thread. If San Francisco doesn't jump out in front here, it's not going to be as ugly as what we saw with the Giants because the disparity of talent is grave, obviously. The 49ers are much more talented. But from what I gathered from your column, you really would be concerned in-game about the 49ers if they fall behind early here.
Only because, look, if you study history and you know Kyle's offense, the one area where Kyle has issues if he gets behind, his father's offense was the same way. It was hard to get ahead of him. You know, it was hard to get ahead of him. And so when you made them into a drop-back pass game, there was limitations on what they were going to do. And those offensive linemen that you think are – that I'm sure Pro Football Focus has is the top five linemen all over. When they have to pass block, that becomes a little bit of a different game. Maybe not so much Trent Williams, but he struggled a little bit last week against Dallas. But most of them, the other four, will struggle if they have to hold and stay there. I think what Philly will do is they're going to power these guys. They're going to try to push them back. They're going to try to push him back and make Purdy play smaller. And if they can do that in a drop-back way, that becomes harder for San Francisco to operate.
It's going to be a physical-ass game. You know, when you in your column, we're going to hear from Kittle in a second about the physicality. In your column, what stood out to me is defensive fronts, and you know the Giants' kind of motto, building those defensive fronts, and the two wins over the Patriots, kind of the anchor of those two teams, were the D-fronts. You've got four good ones. Here's George Kittle talking about matching the Eagles' physicality.
We'll see on Sunday, won't we? I mean, they've got six first-round draft picks on the D-line. They've got a really good secondary. They've got physical guys at linebacker. So, yeah, I mean, whatever you see on paper, sure. I mean, it's the NFL. When you look at paper, it should be like, oh, yeah, we can match their physicality and stuff like that. And then you get on the field on Sundays, and the film after the game will show you exactly what you're asking. So I know we're going to come out. We're going to be violent and physical. I'm expecting them to be the same thing, but we'll see.
Yeah, it's going to be a violent game. That 49ers-Eagles is going to be violent.
Look, I will say this. Every team that played San Francisco, the next week they lost. That's how physical San Francisco is. Don't confuse San Francisco's zone blocking scheme for not being physical. San Francisco has different schemes than just run the outside zone. They have point of attack schemes. They have cut the defense. They have it all, and they play physical. They play physical, and Dallas matched their physicality. And they didn't back down against Dallas. Dallas, I think, is a little bit of a faster defense because of Parsons than Philadelphia. But they didn't back down to that. This is not going to be a game where neither team backs down. Now, Philly's going to have to play the run. Now, that's been one of the areas where Philly hasn't been good. They're going to have to get into the run and stop it. They're going to have to get into second and 12. Their front's going to have to play as physical as they can play. They did last week. Discount that, right? This game's going to go to where – can they match it? And we've seen times where good offensive lines like Dallas have moved the ball on Philadelphia. You know, we don't talk about that Cowboy game that they played in, what, week 14 of the season, late in the year? You know, because it was a Gardner Minshew game. But in that game, Philly, I mean, the Cowboys moved the ball up and down the field on them in that game. I mean, let's not confuse that. And it was from their ability to run the football and their ability. I mean, the Cowboys had 419 yards in that game, 304 passing. They scored 40 points.
Shanahan's always kind of brooding. He's got that kind of curmudgeonly vibe to him. On the other side, Sirianni, he strikes me as a bit of a loose cannon. You know, he wasn't amongst the list of Coach of the Year finalists. What do you know of his personality? He comes across as a little bit of a wild card to me.
Well, I think he's very volatile. I think he's extremely, you know, the word out of Indianapolis was he's got a temper. He's got some toughness to him, which I think his team takes on that personality.
I agree.
You know, and he doesn't have to call the plays, so he doesn't have to control his rage. You know, he could sit back and kind of watch it, but you could feel his energy within the team.
Yep.
And look, they'll be ready to play. I mean, there's no denying it. I mean, if you're not ready to play in this game, what game are you going to be ready to play? But they've got to protect the football, right? So, you know, they played that Cowboy game I mentioned. They turned the ball over four times. They played that Washington game at home. They turned the ball over four times. They've got to protect the football. And against the Bears, they turn it over three times. That's going to be the key. Hurts, when you play against a fast defense, they create fumbles.
Yeah, I think it was maybe a line judge, the clip that was floating around where Sirianni went after the line judge. I'm like, this dude, bit of a loose cannon, but... like you said, it's almost like the team is enveloped by his personality. He's done a good job there. When we come back, Vinny Maliulo from Behind the Book, Hall of Famer, joins us here at Lombardi Line.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.